How to be an angel on purpose. This is Dr. Herbert Alvarley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with another thought for today. You'll probably be getting several thought for today's today because we have several thought for today's, but that's okay. Every thought for today is a good thought for today. But what was our topic? Were you ever an angel on purpose? Were you ever an angel on purpose? Yes? What?
She was
Beatrice Enns, our Swiss angel, came here without knowing every single word in the English dictionary. And she has joined the rest of us who don't know every single word in the English dictionary. So, Miss Enns, have you ever been an angel?
Yes,
on purpose.
On purpose. On purpose.
By choice.
By choice. Angel by choice.
Beatrice, shut up. I'm talking. You're just supposed to be listening and sort of nodding your head. Now, Beatrice, have you ever been an angel by choice? And the fact is, Beatrice has been an angel by choice lots of times. Every time she does something gentle, loving, caring, and unpossessive, she's an angel by choice. Now, Beatrice is setting up a new program in her world of how she looks at the world. Now, up to now, Beatrice has been looking at the world through the eyes of Beatrice Enns, a woman who is retiring from her employment, a woman who's setting out on a new adventure in life, a woman who has been married 40 years and just found out that it's fun, a woman who realized that she's spectacular, but she didn't realize she was an angel on purpose. How was Miss Enns ever an angel on purpose? Well, when Miss Enns looked at somebody doing something very naughty, and she said to them, "Gee, you do exciting things." And the person said, "Yeah." In other words, I am doing something naughty, and you say it's an exciting thing. I don't know where your brains are. And Beatrice repeats herself. She says, "You do such exciting things. When I watch you, I always see you doing beautiful, thoughtful things that just make everybody so happy." Well, lady, you need your head examined, you know, your eyes examined or something. And Beatrice says, "No, really. I look right past some of the illusions that come into my world. And, you know, when I look beyond them, I see beautiful things. Now, every time I see you, I see a man who is thoughtful, loving, and kind." Brah, brah, brah. "Yeah, I do. I see a man who is thoughtful, loving, and kind, but I see a man who has a great anxiety, a great desire to be appreciated, because he has always been told to shut up. He's been told to shut up, and he's never appreciated. But, you see, that's what I see in you, and I appreciate you. I think you're a wonderful man. I think that you're a thoughtful man. I think you're always doing great things for other people, but you try to hide it so nobody knows it and so nobody will recognize that it was you." "Well, what do you mean?" "Well, did you open the gate for that little boy who tried to get in there and he couldn't reach the latch?" "Yeah." "Well, what's so good about that?" "Well, it's a very thoughtful act. Now, you could have just walked on your way and let him figure it out himself, you know? Let him get a box over there or something to raise him up or scream and holler until somebody came out and opened the gate. But you lovingly just went over and opened the gate for him, just like it was your nature to be loving, your nature to be an angel, you know." And he said, "Rah." And so then you see him every day. And every day you catch some little thing that he's doing unconsciously, which is an angel at work, you know. And so you recognize this. Now, you could be the devil very easily and recognize another aspect of what he's doing and see it as very bad. And then say, "No, that's terrible. You know, you're rotten. You're bad." You know, that's the devil talking, you know. And you say to yourself, I don't want to be the devil. Well, we are the devil every time we are unable to see the good. When we see the good, who are we?
Angels.
We're angels. We're God. When we see the good, we're angels. We're God. We're the highest, the best divinity. Now, are you willing to look at it? Now, Anita was telling us that her mother looked at one of her dresses that she wore and said to Anita, you're really going to wear that when you go to a party? You know, that doesn't look like a very party dress. And Anita says, it's one of my favorites. Thank you for noticing, Mom. And so she wore it. Then another time she wore it. And then her mother said one day, Anita, are you going to wear that dress again? And Anita said, Mom, it's my favorite. Well, her mother said, give it to me. And Anita thought, oh dear, now what? And her mother took her dress and washed it in beautiful soapy water with the beautiful, bounce in it, yeah. And then she gently but beautifully ironed it. So it was the most gorgeous looking thing you could ever imagine. And then she put it in the drawer and didn't say a thing. And when Anita was ready to wear her skirt again, she looked there in the drawer, and she saw it, and she says, Mom, you're an angel. And she says, I don't think you should really wear that. And Mom, you are so wonderful, you know. And she put on the dress, and everybody looked at the dress and said, Anita, you are always such a snappy dresser. You have such imagination. You're not the ordinary type person at all. You know, you can wear things that nobody else can wear. And Anita said, well, thank you. Now, was that an angel speaking? Oh, yes. Now, was her mom an angel saying one thing and doing another? And that sometimes happens, doesn't it? That sometimes. So we have to look beyond the appearances. We have to look beyond. Now, what did her mother really mean? If her mother really didn't want her to wear that dress and really thought it was terrible, she wouldn't iron it. What she'd do is she'd put it on the ironing board and leave the iron there and go out of the house. And it would have a big hole in her dress. And of course, if she did it that way, she'd fold the dress over two or three times so that the hole would be a pattern in the dress. But you know, you got to think of these things. But no, she wasn't really opposed to it. She was just not used to seeing her daughter wearing these different clothing. Now, if she were in Hawaii and saw her daughter wearing a grass skirt, she wouldn't think a thing about it, because that's the traditional wear. But because she was in Switzerland wearing this interesting wraparound dress that she wasn't familiar with, it was difficult for her to appreciate. But she did appreciate that her daughter appreciated it, and her daughter appreciated it, so therefore the mother appreciated it, the mother appreciated it because the daughter appreciated it. And if the daughter really appreciates it, the mother will appreciate it, but the mother will not know how to say that she appreciates it, because if she says she appreciates it, it'll go against what she appreciates, you know. So, you have to be real careful, you know. And so you don't expect your mother to respond like you respond. You, oh, wonderful. Your mother looks at, oh. I guess it's all right, you know. I guess it's all right. Yeah. Now, there's a little quip about children and how they recognize when love is being displayed. And one little girl said, love is when daddy comes in the house all sweaty and dirty from working in the garage and working in the yard. He looks terrible. And mother gives him a big hug and a big kiss and says, you look just like John Redford or whatever his name is, you know.
Robert Redford.
You look just like Robert Redford, you know. Well, now, you see, that's an angel. That's an angel. And that's love. And that's not judging. Even though you'd say, you look like Robert Redford that way, you know? Well, yes, Robert Redford perhaps works in the garage too, you know? But the thing is, love was what was being displayed. Love was what was being shown, and that's what an angel does. An angel is pure love. Now, can you be an angel by design, by choice? Can you be an angel in everything that you do? Can you be an angel? In every person you look at, can you see beyond the appearance? And the appearance might be they have a tear in their pants. I got after Alan the other day. We were down at the beach, and we were coming out of Anthony's restaurant, and she looked at the back of Martino's trousers, and the back of his trousers had a big dirty spot on it, you know, a big something or other. And she says, "Oh, Martino, what is that on the back?" And I said, "Oh, shut up. He doesn't know it's there. It doesn't bother him. You know, just let him alone. Let him alone. You know, don't tell him because it'll mess up his whole day. He's got nothing to cover it up with, you know." And so then Martino heard her, and he said, "Oh." And then he pulled his shirt away from it so you could see it totally, and it was part of the design of the trousers. it was something painted on the trouser, you know, that came from the store, you know. And Alan wanted to make a big fuss out of it, you know. But instead of just, if a woman's slip is showing, forget it. If she doesn't know it, it doesn't bother her at all. But when you tell her, then she knows it. I wonder how long it's been like that, you know. And don't do that. It doesn't matter. An angel doesn't recognize those things. An angel just sees past it. You look gorgeous. Oh, you know, let me adjust your skirt just a little bit there. You are really beautiful. And you pull it down just a little bit, you know. And you don't say your slip is showing. Because right away they'll say, "Oh my goodness sakes, I've been going around all day looking like that." And that doesn't matter. Nobody else saw it either. And of the people who had seen her during the day, nobody had the audacity to speak up and say, "Your slip is showing," because it really wasn't important. The only important thing was that she was a very lovely person, and she had a very charismatic being about her, you know, very lovely. So those are things that an angel doesn't do. They just let it go. It doesn't matter, you know. Rex, he just loves to chase lizards. And he chases them and chases them and chases them. And when he catches them, he just likes to put his paw on them and say, "Nah, I caught you. Now run again." And then he lets it loose and lets it run again. Now, he's not trying to kill it. He's just playing a game with something that's running. And if the lizard would stop and stay still, he'd turn to something else. You see, we get so upset about things because we think that the poor lizard doesn't have a chance. Well, the lizard has a perfect chance. And all animal creation, all, what would you say, all life forms, including man, no. You don't kick a dead horse, you know? Uh-huh. And so if you just act dead, just stop, and just relax, and you're no fun. And that's what animals want to do. They want to have fun. They want to chase something, you know? And that's the beauty of it. And sometimes Rex will catch him. And then what does he do? He lets it loose so he can chase it some more. You know? It's all part of the lovely game. But now we say, "Oh, that poor animal, he's being chased." It's you that's getting excited. This is part of the animal's world, part of creature's world, is to be in the chase and to be in this. What's that called?
Run and chase. Run and chase, I know.
Yeah, run and chase. Mm-hmm. What's that called?
Life.
That's called the chain of what? The food chain. Mm-hmm. And one animal eats another animal, eats another animal, and don't get so uppity in your mind as I tell you this. You do the same thing. How many chickens have you eaten? How many pigs have you eaten? How many horses have you eaten? How many cows have you eaten? How many whales have you eaten? How many fish have you eaten? My goodness sake. Now, all of this living creatures on earth, and you could just go and eat veggies and not eat those things. But you listen to the stories that scientists tell us, and vegetables have consciousness too. And vegetables have a sensitivity too. And vegetables have feelings too. Hmm. Interesting, isn't it? You see, nothing was given to us to eat. It's just manna from heaven, that invisible substance that's all the food. And that's what Moses fed his people on the 40 days and 40 nights. Maybe it's something we can look into.
Okay.
Oh, golly.
Oh, golly.
Ellen, when you have manna from heaven, are you satisfied when you eat it?
Yes.
Do you feel absolutely filled and fulfilled?
Yes.
Do you have any hunger at all?
No.
Now, what do you say, oh, golly, about?
I just...
You see, right away she's back in her human, animal, you know, chain of food chain. She's right back there again, you know. And this is what we do. And it's not true. It's not true. When you live in your divine nature, you will not need, want, or desire anything other than your divine nature. Now you say, well, who on earth does that? Well, nobody you know, because you don't associate with those type of people. You know, really. Mm-hmm. You don't associate with those type of people. How many people have you associated who have chosen not to drink water? There are people who do it. How many people have you chosen to associate with who don't eat food? Oh. Show me where they are. No, they don't want to be around you because you're encouraging them to eat. You think, oh, you should eat. You should eat. You're wasting away to skin and bones. Well, no, they're not. And all of these things, you see, all the miracles of the world, they're around us in every way, shape, and form. But if we can't put clothes on them, if we can't put a form on it that we can understand, we won't accept it. And the miracle, well, you're hungry, so you want some nuts. So you go to the nut tree, you climb up there and get some nuts off the nut tree. Well, what does the squirrel do? Huh?
Same thing.
No. He goes down to the base of the tree and takes the nuts that have already fallen. He doesn't climb up there and work his heart out. And then he takes those nuts, and most of those nuts are already to be eaten because they're ready fallen. You know, they're ready to be eaten. And so he sits there and peels it and eats it. Now, isn't that interesting? Yeah? Can you do that? Can you understand that there's food all about you? Everywhere you turn, there's food. And what do you do with it? You let it rot. You hear from Art that his garden is available to us because he doesn't have anybody at home now to eat it anymore. We should go pick his garden every day and bring home fresh veggies and fresh things. And you don't do it. You don't do it. You might rather go to Trader Joe's, and you'd rather go out to somewhere else, and you'd rather do all sorts of things. But the garden is filled with substance to enjoy, and it's free. All you have to do is go over and pick it up. But no, you're not like the squirrel that picks it up. You got to be human and climb up the tree and go through the shelves and pick out what you want, you know. It's interesting, isn't it? Now, can you be an angel on purpose?
Yes.
Can you be an angel on purpose and say, I let the divine in me guide me and direct me in everything that I do? Can you be an angel that takes a gruff man who opens the gate for a little boy? Yeah. Or who grabs a hold of a little girl as she's running toward the street and says, where are you going? You're so fast. Now, sit down. And you say, what's a man doing talking to a little girl? Get your nonsense out of the way. He's a loving, caring person. And he says, now, sweetheart, That street, see that street over there? That's for big people to play on. That's where they take their toys, their cars, and their motorcycles and play. Now, the sidewalk, that's for little people to play on. And you're a little people. Someday you'll be a big people, but you play on the sidewalk. Now, you get your bicycle, tricycle, and you go play on the sidewalk. Now, then he goes his way. If she does, good. If she doesn't, good. But is she going to play on the sidewalk? Mm-hmm. You betcha. Because he didn't say, you must, you have to, you can't. He just said, the big street out there, that's for the big people to play on. And it's true. That's where they take their toys. And the sidewalk is for little people to play on. That's where they take their toys, their coasters, their tricycles, you know, and all the things that they have. Do you know that the swedge, what is it called? The two-wheel device that you stand on, the Sedgwick, you know, that in every state in the Union, it's allowed to be driven on the sidewalk.
Uh-huh.
And in some 40 states, I think it says, it's allowed to be driven on the street. And a few other things. But you see, the permission is there. Interesting. Very interesting. And then some states won't allow you to go on the freeway with your little gadget because it just doesn't go fast enough. But so there's plenty of other roads to drive on, plenty of other sidewalks to play on. You don't have to play in the street with your bicycle, you know. So remember, you're an angel. And act like it all the time. Find good in everybody all the time. Find loving things in everybody. Find first how loving you are in yourself. And then as you look out, you'll see everything beautiful and good. And you'll stop climbing the tree to get your good. You'll find that it's lying on the ground all around you, just waiting for you to pick it up, like the beautiful stone of gold that this hiker and his family found. And he sat on it and didn't even know it. And his kid says, "Dad, what is that you're sitting on?" You know? And he looked, and he had pulled some moss away, and there it was, pure gold. Pure gold. Now, you're sitting on pure gold all the time, but you don't know it. And that is, the divine in you is sparkling and always coming through. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.